And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. A couple of weeks ago, Quinquagesima Sunday, I decided to make a little mini announcement about the upcoming then season of Lent in relation to the passage from 1 Corinthians chapter 13 that we had heard, and in relation to what has become commonplace right around the beginning of the season of Lent. The common experience is that the complications and difficulties and stresses of life tend to get more complicated and difficult and stressful right around the beginning of Lent. And perhaps you've noticed this in your own life, I don't know. But if you don't believe me, then just, well, if it hasn't happened to you, let's say, then you can believe me as the pastor of this congregation that the increase of concerns and situations has definitely been a real thing at the beginning of this season of Lent. On that Quinquagesima Sunday, after having just read the love chapter, chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, I pointed out to you that love is not easily provoked. And so, as we were anticipating the increase of these stresses and difficulties, I was encouraging you not to be easily provoked. But there's more. Charity suffereth long, is kind, it envieth not, it does not vaunt itself up, it's not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, rejoiceth not in iniquity, rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things, and charity never faileth. Now that we're a week and a half or so into Lent, perhaps you've noticed those difficulties in your own situations and circumstances, but most, and I believe perhaps even all of us, have been tested in our charity. And we may begin to ask ourselves just what exactly is going on here and why, but before we ask the question why, our request goes up to the Lord, please make it stop. May the confusion and perplexity and discomfort and suffering stop. We've cried out, Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. And now is the time for God to do his thing. We've put in our request. Chop, chop, go ahead. Have mercy on us already. And we're disappointed to learn that there are oftentimes, and sometimes most often, that no discernible relief to the difficulty, and even no discernible answer to the question, why, comes to us. And our faith and our hope and our charity are tested. In the Gospel for the second Sunday in Lent that we've heard today, we've heard a story of an interaction between Jesus, his disciples, and a Canaanite woman of Tyre and Sidon. And in the interaction, we see something of a microcosm of the problem we're talking about here at the beginning of Lent, or really any difficult time we encounter in life. First, Jesus and his disciples are traveling around the very northwestern border of Israel, probably a little beyond their current day technical boundary, all the way up to the area near Tyre and Sidon, which, if you look at it on a map, is Lebanon today. You could have asked Jesus and his disciples why they were so far out. If you want to do a deep dive, you can go into the book of Joshua and find out that Tyre and Sidon used to be within the boundaries of Israel centuries before then. And that's another whole discussion. But you could easily say Jesus was circumnavigating the territory there of the promised land. Either way, a woman from Tyre and Sidon comes out to them and cries after Jesus to help her, crying out in such a way as to really annoy the disciples. When you think for a moment about the presumption of disciples who issue a command to Jesus, Jesus, send this woman away, for she crieth out after us. You know, it's not that far from the story from Quinquagesima about a blind man who cries out, Lord, have mercy upon me. And people are telling him to be quiet. Here we have another one who's crying out to Jesus, and now the disciples are saying, send her away. Not surprisingly, Jesus does not obey his disciples, but rather the woman is drawn close to him in dialogue. In her words, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me, for my daughter is vexed with the devil," reveal that this woman has a problem, a terrible situation for which she had likely tried everything. She's from Tyre and Sidon, where at the time they were Baal worshippers. No doubt she had gone to the temple and she had pleaded for Baal to take care of her and her daughter. She'd likely tried everything within her power, what she thought was within the realm of possibility for the gods she had been praying to. She was accustomed to receiving no help. It's apparent that the rumors, though, about Jesus had traveled to Tyre and Sidon faster than he had, because she was ready to come out and meet him. His reputation had preceded him all the way out to the coast, and this woman had learned that the great healer of Israel was drawing close to her. A loving parent of a child who is ill will do almost anything to help that child, and they should. Racing out to Jesus and even making a fool of herself was well within the range of the activities she was willing to take part in. The answer she receives, though, is the shock. Jesus says, "I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I'm not here for you." And you'd think there'd be a pause, and I always wish that the scriptures included pauses, awkward pauses, but you can't. It's just text, left to right, top to bottom. But I bet there was an awkward pause. She changes her plea to something much more simple. "Lord, help me." No further explanation, no argument about the lost sheep of the house of Israel, or technically Tyre and Sidon is within the original borders, and no talk like that. No apology for the worship of Baal. The Canaanite woman of Tyre and Sidon has been called by several church fathers, you may be surprised, as, including St. Augustine, the precursor of the church. At least the Gentile church, you could say the Catholic church, the universal church. She represents the Gentiles who would soon be included in the unfurling, or under the unfurling banner of salvation that God was spreading over his creation. Her cry is your cry. And it's very simple. Kyrie eleison. Lord, have mercy. Surely now, with such a pure and simple request, Jesus would acquiesce and the tension would be relieved and there would be a miracle. But no, Jesus says that it's not right to take the food from the table and to cast it to dogs. And we would like to say, wait a minute, Jesus, I don't know how long you've been a Christian. Just kidding, of course there's no... Jesus can't be a Christian in the same way. But I don't know how long you've been a Christian, Jesus, but you need to take a discipleship course or something, because no one told you Christians are nice. And the comment about dogs is just not nice. And you may think that she should take offense. But closer to home, when you think about who this woman is, as a precursor of the church, you should take offense, because in a roundabout way, Jesus is talking to you. If she's the mother of the Gentile church and you're the Gentile church, then he has just called your mother and you dogs. Are you going to take that? Even closer to home, he's put you in your current situation, and you've cried out in your distress. I promise you have. "Lord, have mercy upon me." And not infrequently, you've been told something like no. Are you going to take that? Accept that from God? Accept that from someone who's been called the Prince of Peace? Surely now the story gets juicy. The woman's going to bow up and fire off a tirade and a torrent of words. She's going to teach God a thing or two about suffering and about the meaning of life and about the innocence of children. And Jesus is going to get a lesson about mercy and about compassion from an irate customer. She would like to speak to the manager. Let's see what she says, though. "Yes, Lord, but even the dogs are permitted to eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." And Jesus' response, "Woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." The difficulty, the tension, the lack of an answer, and even the seeming rebuke from Jesus drew out from the Syrophoenician woman evidence of her great faith and perhaps even a flowering of charity and hope. And we recall 1 Corinthians 13, charity suffereth long, it seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. And relief for her circumstances came to her not because it was her right, and not because it was inevitable, and not because she'd earned it, simply because Jesus wanted to reward her for her earnestness, her lack of guile or wrath, for her love and concern for the suffering and the innocent, for her faith. Jesus found a friend in that woman, for this is precisely what he was doing in the world. Her plea was for her daughter and her willingness to suffer shame and embarrassment for the sake of another who was at risk of death is precisely what Jesus was doing in this world. And her cry is not far from the cry that went up from the cross, as Jesus was in a state of embarrassment and suffering for the sake of others. "Lord Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on my daughter who's grievously vexed with the devil," is not a far distant cry for, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Jesus is approaching a land that was not the land of the chosen people of God, and yet he met someone who knew him, really knew him. Do you know him? Jesus had disciples all around him who had walked with him all the time, who hardly understood what he was doing. But near Tyre and Sidon, he met a woman who was truly walking with him. Are you walking with him? This Lent, as together we aim to walk with Christ these 40 days, it's the purpose of Lent, to draw close, walking with him towards his passion. Our faith will no doubt be tested, perhaps it already has, even in the circumstances of our lives. May our voices match those of the Canaanite woman, truly crying out not only, "Lord, have mercy on me," but "Lord, have mercy upon us." Enduring the time when we're not given our clear answer, unoffended, unprovoked by the delay in our relief, increasing instead in faith and hope and love, anticipating the day of an eternal healing, the day of our resurrection. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.